Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's Barbecue Nation with JT on a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now here's JT.
Hey everybody, welcome to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT along with Commander Dave, who's out parking his car or something right at the moment, but he's around here somewhere. You know, as I've said earlier in previous shows, it's that time of year when we like to find out who the big winners are from the Royal, the Jack, Sam's, all those great year-end barbecue competitions. Today we get the privilege of talking with Lauren Hill. Lauren was the winner of the chicken category, and we got to talk about smart chickens. Just remind me of that, Lauren. At the Invitational, and he's a former winner of the, what did you say, the Open or the Invitational?
Actually, the Invitational, Jeff.
Yeah, you just told me that, and my memory just went right out the window. He also won $100,000 at the as a grand champion at the World Food Championships a couple years ago. He and his wife, Cheryl, kind of make up their team there. And when she can get off work, I guess, the team is Smokin' Hills Barbecue. So let's just welcome Lauren Hill. Hey, Lauren.
Hello, Jeff.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing excellent. Just got my chicken trimmed for the weekend and getting ready to clean some smokers.
Well, there you go. How do you trim a chicken?
Well, actually, we buy thighs, so we cook thighs. And so just a lot of trimming. Make them look pretty in that box.
There you go. So let's kind of go back to the beginning. Where and how did you learn and then get involved in competitive barbecue?
Actually, we started back in the 90s. My brother actually had a barbecue team, and it was the typical new barbecue team. Seven friends get together, go out and party, and try to barbecue. And so we cooked two competitions a year for several years, and then everybody kind of got married and went their own separate ways, and I went stock car racing.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, so I did the stock car racing for a few years till I learned that I was spending, you know, lots and lots of money and making very little money.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a good business sense to stay in that. So I looked at my wife and said, what are we going to do? And she said, let's try the barbecue deal. So in 2005, we started cooking competition barbecue, just myself and her.
Well, it seems to have worked out for you pretty well.
Well, you know, it takes a while to get in the groove. And, you know, we took several competition classes from fellow barbecue competitors and slowly got better and better and better till we started winning.
What do you cook on, Lauren?
Well, actually, we started on Weber WSMs, and then in early 2015, we transitioned to Gateway Drum Smokers.
There you go. There you go. It's funny, we just talked about those. Just as the shows go, a week ago, but as my schedule goes, about 20 minutes ago.
So
it was pretty good because we had Tim on.
Oh, okay.
Tim Shear.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Very, very good friends with Tim.
Yeah. It's all good there. When you were developing your techniques and stuff, I mean, these are the questions that I get from people when they run into me and they say, you know, excuse me, cooking competitively is different than what you cook at home for the most part, because of the seasonings and how you treat it and how you trim it and, you know, various things. But how do you develop your recipes, and are you afraid to ever tweak them as you go down the road?
Yeah, actually, you know, a lot of the recipes we have and we're using is recipes or variations of recipes we got from other competition cooks in their classes.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, we've taken four competition barbecue classes, and each class we find a little tweak or two that we can make. So that's where the base for the recipes come. I mean, chicken was our struggle this year, and we ended up talking to another competitor, a good friend of ours, and he shared his chicken rub recipe, and we simply changed the rub, and then we started hitting in chicken. So, you know, we aren't afraid to make changes, but we'll make minor changes each time and cook it three contests before we tweak it again.
And then who judges it? You, your wife, or do you bring somebody else in and say, try this?
Well, my wife is definitely the taste tester for the team. Mm-hmm. I'm the cook. She's my secret weapon, the taste tester. But, you know, if she likes it, it's good to go in. And then from there, it's what the judges think of it. Because, you know, you got to try to hit that happy medium with all the judges.
Yeah, and that's tough because you're... This really turns into, at times, a subjective sport instead of an objective sport with certain judges.
You know, all the judges' tastes are a little different. So, uh-huh. You know, you just got to try to get a flavor that all judges are going to like, not just a few of them. Or, you know, like last week we cooked, you know, at the contest we were at, Cheryl thought it was the best pork we ever cooked in our life, and it actually turned out being our worst category of the day.
Isn't that a little deflating sometimes?
It can be.
Yeah.
You know, that's the barbecue game we play, and, you know, we're still having fun, so that's why we do it. I mean, it's the fun, the people, the friends we've met through barbecue. I mean, that's what keeps us going.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, of course, then when you win $100,000 every couple of years, it's not bad either.
Well, I wish it was every couple of years, and we can all cross our fingers it's every couple of years. But, yeah, that was quite an achievement. And, I mean, it's for having the year of winning the Invitational and World Food, to, you know, 40 days apart, it was unbelievable.
Yeah. We've got a couple minutes before we got to go to break here. Lauren, what do you think is the most important thing you've learned in doing barbecue competitions so far?
Well, I mean, you know, I think one of the, well, there's a couple important things. One, mm-hmm. one mistake that especially beginning cooks make is they over smoke their meat. I mean, we found throughout the years, sometimes no smoke is better than too much, or it's always no smoke or little smoke is better than over smoking the meat.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, I mean, you got to cook it right. Bottom line is, you know, all the flavors are pretty close from the competition team, so you got to cook it right every time.
You know, Amy Mills was on the show a few weeks ago, and we were talking, and we got to talking about judging and various things. Excuse me. And she said she always knows when she's judged too many competitions in a row or been at one, a lengthy one, for too long. Because she can't get her rings on her fingers. Her hands are too swollen from all the seasoning and stuff. And I said, yes, I've had that happen too. Where, you know, and again, that's the difference between what you would put on the plate at home. And I think Tim kind of summed it up best was he said, you're looking for one bite barbecue at the level you guys play at.
That is definitely true.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be kind of like judging a, you know, a pie contest or something at the state fairs. You can only eat so many pieces or bites of blueberry pie. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. it's pretty tough. What's the most fun you have? We've got about a minute and a half before we go to break now. And I know I said that a few minutes ago, but, what's the most fun you have out there, Lauren, in doing these competitions?
Well, I definitely, the best part of the whole barbecue experience is the social hours on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you get to sit around and have maybe a few cocktails with all your friends that compete on the circuit, I mean, that's, like I say, that's what it's all about. That's why we do it.
Well, it's important that you stay hydrated.
Yes, it is.
You know, you want to stay hydrated because sometimes those days can be very long. And depending on what time of year, the heat can be an encumbrance, and so you really want to stay hydrated. That's my recommendation to people.
Yeah, and the nice thing about it, you know, cooking on the gateways, we can sleep in till 6 in the morning, so we might be able to hit it a little harder than what some of the other people do.
There you go. That's truly the voice of experience speaking right there, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure. Hey, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back with Lauryn Hill, the big winner, or one of the big winners at the Invitational this year. He won the chicken category. And we're going to talk some more about the Royal and just some more about barbecue in general. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
It's Full Flavored Radio, Barbecue Nation with JT.
Hey, welcome back. You're listening to Barbecue Nation. A little George Thorogood there for you in between segments here on the show. We're talking with Lauryn Hill today from Smoking Hills Barbecue. Hence the name Hills and the title of the team and your last name. I just thought I'd be overstate the obvious there and point that out. Also, if you like to contact us, it's Barbecue Nation. That's bbqnation@kxl.com. Or on Facebook, it's Barbecue Nation / with JT. You can find us there. And we tweet and we do all that stuff. So I won't say that I do it all, but somebody does it for me there. Also, our affiliates, KWRO in Coos Bay and KFLS in Klamath Falls. We thank you for having us there. Lauryn, when you're competing, are you totally, how focused are you? I mean, I've interviewed some people that they're like Myron, you know, Myron is like really focused. And a lot of that is sometimes because the camera is rolling in his face too. But, and other people have a really good kind of, you know, I go there to have fun. Yes, I want to win, but I'm kind of hanging out there with my buddies all weekend too. So where are you on that scale?
Well, I'd say, I mean, you got to be focused if you're going to win.
Yeah.
You know, obviously from the point of picking up the meat and picking out the meat to trimming it, I mean, you got to be focused during the whole process or granted, you're not going to win.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's one of those deals that, you know, I see a lot of the new teams, it's more of a party, which is fine if that's what they want, but we're out there to win. So you could definitely have to be focused.
Well, let's talk about the process a little bit. I mean, the Royal, given what it is, that may be a little different. But on your normal weekend competition that Lauryn and company are going to go to, how do you prepare? What products are you actually using?
Yeah, well, actually, I mean, I start early in the week sourcing the meats. I mean, we use Smart Chicken, which is available at the grocery store down the street here. We cook Smithfield ribs and pork. Again, it's a commodity meat that you can buy at the local Walmart, or we actually use Kansas City Competition Meats because he's got such a large inventory,
mm-hmm.
and I can go through and pick out what I'd like to cook. And then briskets, I mean, we cook a combination of Snake River Farms and have recently started cooking the Australian Wagyu's, the A9 briskets from Master Purveyors in mm-hmm. Tampa, Florida.
Do you cook just the flats on the brisket, or do you cook the whole thing?
No, actually, we cook the whole thing. We do separate the point from the flat prior to cooking it.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it varies. If the burn ends are really good, we'll turn them in. If they're not dead on perfect, then we do not put them in the box. And honestly, you know, we've had two 180s this year, and both times we did not have burn ends in the box.
Well, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah. And who developed the presentation, your wife or you? Or was it a, you know, normal family, as my dad used to say, come down tonight for the family meeting, I mean, fight, whatever. So that was when we were big in ranching and stuff, and that was always kind of the standing joke. But does your wife do the presentation box, or do you?
Actually, it's a combination of the two. And just to give you one example, I don't want to give a lot of secrets here, but
sure.
You know, everybody's stuck on, for example, a rib box doing 4-on-4 or 5-on-5. And what we always found was we were taking one slab that wasn't quite as good as the other and putting it in the box. Well, just like I talked about the burn-ins, if it's not perfect, we don't want it in the box.
Mm-hmm.
So now we've started our rib box is 6 bones. We take them all out of the same slab. It's going to be our best slab we have for the day. And our scores improved dramatically when we went to 6 bones rather than 8 or 10.
Oh, there you go. That's, you know, for people that are competing or thinking about competing, you just got a little jewel there to tuck away in your pocket from Lauren. That's a cool thing. And if you don't know, we're talking with Lauren Hill from Smoking Hills Barbecue. He was the winner of the chicken category at the Invitational at the Royal this year. He's also won $100,000 as a grand champion at the World Foods Championships. That was a couple weeks ago. And he and his wife, Cheryl, compete whenever they can and wherever they can, it sounds like. What's the toughest part about competing for you?
Well, I think it's the time involved. I mean, people don't realize, they see the teams go out on a weekend and they think it's just a weekend kind of deal. But, you know, it takes 20, 30 hours worth of prep during the week to get ready for that weekend. So, I mean, it's almost a full-time job when you compete as much as we do. I mean, we've done 32 contests this year. So,
wow. Do you have sponsors?
Yeah, actually, we've got 4 sponsors, and I mean, very good sponsors. We use butter on every category, so we have Challenge Butter.
Mm-hmm.
In my mind, it's the best butter on the market. I mean, fresh, creamy, no additives. Kind of interesting. It goes from the cow to the refrigerator in 2 days. I mean, you don't get much fresher than that.
Not really.
And then, surprisingly enough, one of our other sponsors is Green Flame Lighter Fluid. Probably one of the few professional barbecue teams on the circuit that use lighter fluid, but it's 100% bio lighter fluid and contains no petroleum, so it leaves no awkward taste on the food. So, I mean, it's by far the fastest way to light the Gateway drum smokers. And then we have Kansas City Barbecue Store, which is where we buy all our supplies. They've got anything any barbecuer would ever need. And last but not least, to keep our meat cold, we're sponsored by Yeti Coolers as well.
I, you know, for as much as I do on this, on radio and TV, I got to talk to those folks at Yeti. And I do a lot of tailgating stuff here for the radio stations. Anyway, that's another story, but I'm impressed with the Yeti products there. Do you remember the very first thing you ever grilled or smoked?
Well, I mean, you know, growing up as a kid, my parents grilled and smoked. Well, basically, mainly grilled, but, you know, there's nothing like the old grilled chicken, barbecue chicken, or my mother made the best grilled pork chops I've ever had in my life. So it goes back. We used to do a 2-week vacation every year, and so I got fond memories of those old grilling times with the parents.
Yeah, I've got some. I wouldn't say they were fond because my dad couldn't cook worth a damn. But anyway, we're going to take a break. We're going to be back and talk more with Lauren Hill from Smokin' Hills Barbecue, and I'll tell you more stories about my dad burning chicken after this.
I come in last night about 10:30. That baby of mine wouldn't let me in.
Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation here on the Radio Northwest Network, and my friends in Texas, down in Seymour, Texas, that are listening to the show now. And we look forward to getting down there and meeting with you guys someday. We've got Lauren Hill with us, one of the big winners at the Royal this year. He won the chicken category at the Invitational and scored well there. Is the cooking for your friends and family, do they ever turn into critics, especially because you turn into a big winner? You know, you won 100 grand, you won a bunch of championships, so on and so on. And then do they ever kind of sit back and say, that wasn't very good, Lauren?
Yeah, I mean, you're always going to get that. Obviously, when we first started, and part of the reason why we originally got into barbecue was everybody said our barbecue was the best they ever ate. And, you know, we thought we could go out and win the competitions right out of the get-go. Unfortunately, that's not the way it goes.
No.
But now that they've been around it, I mean, you know, I got family that comes out and visits quite often. You know, especially, I mean, for example, Cheryl's mother, she comes out probably about 8 to 10 times a year. And she'll eat a piece of chicken and look at me and go, well, it's not the best I ever had. Last week's was better. You know, so yeah, we definitely have those family critics that, you know, a lot of times it'll turn out what somebody says they don't like will be a first place with the 180. So you never know. You
no.
just kind of got to let those comments slide and continue with your cook.
No, that's true. That's true. I mean, I know that I busted my butt sometimes on certain things and they'll just say, I've got a really good friend. And I've actually taught him to cook a lot of things because he couldn't cook with sour owl stuff. Anyway, he's now gotten to the point where he kind of thinks he's, you know, fair to middling as far as in the kitchen. And he'll say, that wasn't as good. You know, I think you left out the garlic or something like that. And, you know, you want to turn around and look at him and go, you wouldn't know if I left out the garlic or I left out your tennis shoe. So,
yep.
Anyway. Really quick, folks, barbecuenation@kxl.com. If you want to get a hold of us, check out our Facebook page too. We are talking with Lauren Hill, as I said, and now we're going to put Lauren through the lightning round. And this is where producer Dave usually sticks in the music from Mission Impossible. So there you go. How long did it take you to learn not to peek under the lid?
Oh, I mean, I still peek under the lid. I think that's something that you'll never break that habit, but also I'm spritzing the meat every 15 minutes or so.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good reason to lift the lid.
Well, there you go. What barbecue skill took you the longest to master?
I would say it's the timing. Getting the timing down to where we're not pushing it to get meats turned in at the last second.
Sure. What, or I should say, which of these would you rather barbecue, Lauren? The Thanksgiving turkey, a Yule log, Christmas goose, or the Easter bunny?
Oh, definitely the Thanksgiving turkey. There's nothing better than a good smoked turkey.
No, that's true. My mom used to make turkey. It was so dry that... that I never could figure out when I was little, why we always had so much gravy. We'd have this big, huge pan full of gravy. And then until I kind of took over cooking the Thanksgiving meals, I figured out why we had all that gravy. Anyway, if Lauren Hill was declared supreme ruler of barbecue for a week, what would you decree?
Probably that nobody cooks on a pellet smoker.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I understand pellets. I like pellets. But in the competition world, that just takes a lot of the skill out of it.
Yeah. And you would just go with charcoal or stick wood?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we've always cooked on a charcoal smoker. And so, you know... And, you know, most of the top performers on the circuit cook on charcoal smokers.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think when you set a dial like you do an oven, that, you know, that's not really smoking.
Unless you back into it and catch your shirt on fire.
Yeah.
Sorry. What's the dumbest thing you've ever seen done with a grill?
The dumbest thing with a grill.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I can think of is, you know, somebody that their fire is going out, and I've seen this many times, they just pour more charcoal in there and hit it with the old Kingsford lighter fluid to get it going again.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not very smart.
No, that's not very smart, and it's not very tasty.
Right.
I'll tell you that. What's the biggest mistake you've ever made, you, Lauren, has ever made during a competition?
Probably dropping the chicken tray as I'm walking out of the motorhome.
Ooh.
It's not good when you know, just sauced it and you're getting ready to set the sauce and then you drop it on the gravel parking lot. That's not a good thing to happen.
What did Cheryl say about that?
Oh, she was not happy. She was not happy. And another story there is we were having a little disagreement at a contest one time, and I put the chicken in the box, and she went in and garnished it and took two pictures of it, and we were not talking at the time. You know, it was one of those discussions.
Mm-hmm.
So turned it in and came back to the trailer. She's smiling ear to ear and said, "Man, that was good chicken today." And I'm like, "Yeah, and that box was beautiful." Well, 5 minutes later, there's a knock on the door, and the rep asks, "How many pieces of chicken did you put in the box?" And unfortunately, we'd only put 5 pieces in the box.
Uh-oh.
So it kind of took our smiles off her face real quick. But, you know, you just got to move on and move to the next category and hope you do well in it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can... Mistakes like that can be costly, and in the long ride home on the motorhome too.
Yeah, and especially when you know travel 10 hours to Chicago for the contest.
Yeah, that's a long trip home, buddy. That's a long trip home. Where's the worst place you've ever had to cook? And it doesn't have to mean in a competition. I mean, just generally anywhere.
Well, I mean, it was fun, but by far the most miserable conditions were. There's a contest up in Minnesota, I believe it's the first weekend of March, called Fire and Ice.
Mm-hmm.
You actually cook on the frozen lake, Lake Mille Lacs. So, you know, when the temperatures are zero or below and you're out trying to barbecue, it's a challenge and it's not a lot of fun sometimes.
Well, I think Tim was telling me about that. He said he did... they were doing shots of fireball or something.
Oh yeah, it's a big fireball contest.
Yeah, he said they were so damn cold that people were standing in line just to get that one shot or something.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy. do you have favorite barbecue judges, Lauren?
Well, I mean, you know, we don't know who judges our food, so you know, I can't say who's a favorite or not. You know, we talk to a lot of judges, and I can tell just by the conversations that some of them may not be my favorites, but we have no way of knowing how one judge to another scores. So a lot of friends are barbecue judges, but again, they don't know who they're judging, and we don't know who's judging our food. So
you can probably figure it out fairly closely, I imagine, if you thought about it, if you went to this, you know, this. If they got 10 judges at a competition, I'm just making this up, but if they, and you know, five of them you've done well under before, you kind of think of maybe those five, but you can't ever really be sure.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of times we don't even see the judges because they'll show up, go to the judge meeting, judge the food, and a lot of them will leave right after.
Mm-hmm.
It's unfortunate that they don't stick around to see, you know, visit with the teams and stick around and see who won the competition. Because, you know, just the interaction between judges and teams, that's something that definitely needs to happen.
It would be a big help, I think, to people. To really be a big help. We kind of got away from this, and I got about a minute left here, but smart chickens. I've never known a smart chicken or known of a smart chicken. Can you enlighten me on that?
Yeah, well, basically, smart chicken, it's rather than being a fast freeze chicken, it's actually air cooled. So, I mean, it's the place freezing to me kind of, you know, I try to cook fresh chicken and smart chicken's fresh and it's air cooled. So it's a big difference rather than your normal run of the mill chicken supplier.
Okay. Or you're just your run over chicken kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and wrap up the show with Lauren Hill. And don't go away. You are listening to the Barbecue Nation. Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT. Dr. Dave is upright somewhere in the building. And we're talking with Lauren Hill. Lauren, as I've said a couple times, was the winner of the chicken category at the Invitational this year, a former winner. Of the Invitational, won $100,000 as the grand champion at the World Foods Championship a couple years ago. Cooks with his wife Cheryl, and seems to have a good time in whatever he does. So, Lauren, let me ask you this. If I could, you could have anybody in the world, who would you have cook for you?
Darren Worth.
Okay.
I was Smokey D's, probably the best cook ever on the planet.
And on the reverse side of that, who would you, if you got a chance to, cook for?
Probably Michael Simon.
Oh, yeah? Up in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, Cleveland.
Cleveland, yeah.
And, you know, he's a very renowned chef that I think we could serve him some of the best barbecue he's ever had in his life.
There you go. There you go. Have you ever met anybody who you say they really should not barbecue?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people I've met that really shouldn't be barbecuing. But, you know, they're having fun at it, and that's all
sure.
that matters.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like anything in the cooking world or the competitive world, you know. You just smile, and they keep going. Your bucket list for your barbecue career, what does your bucket list consist of at this point, Lauren?
Well, like you said, we've won World Food. We've won the Invitational. It would be great to win the Open. And then, obviously, everybody's bucket list includes Jack Daniels, too. So hopefully we get drawn for that again and get to go down and show our stuff and cross our fingers we can win the thing.
Oh, I think you can. You got smart chickens, man. You can win anything with a smart chicken.
Very.
I love that. Would you? Was there anything that you would like to see changed in the actual barbecue competitions? I know a couple people I've talked to they're not major changes, but they were like more clarification on certain basic rules and maybe more of kind of developing standards for judging. Those are just some suggestions that have been made over the time. I thought I would ask what your opinion is.
Well, I mean, I think the biggest part of it, Jeff, is more consistent judging. But, you know, you can't very well reprimand somebody for giving sixes and sevens because then it's going to turn into every judge giving nines.
Right.
On the other side of the deal, there's judges that give all nines. I mean, we don't want to make it a deal where every judge is given eights. So I think the easiest way, I mean, KCBS tracks each judge's scoring. So they know what that judge's average score is. They've got the data, and I think what needs to happen is they just need to seat the tables so that the averages are the same for each of the how many tables there are at the contest, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So rather than having five high-scoring judges on one table and five low-scoring on the other, they've got the data to intermingle those and get pretty even tables across the board.
That makes sense. I mean, that makes sense. I know in the horse world where I came from, when you're judging, we have standards. We have lots of rules, of course, because we're governed by a number of different bodies. But the standards, you know, kind of standard practices that took years to develop really helped, if you will, kind of level out some of the judging, much to what you're talking about there. So I see that as a good thing as the time goes on. Your favorite thing, Lauren, your favorite thing to eat barbecue wise. And I'm not talking about brisket and chicken or ribs, but if you could grill or smoke or anything, or if I came to your house and you said, Jeff, there's my cooker, you go do what you want with it. What's your favorite thing?
I mean, you say not chicken or ribs, but ribs is by far my favorite thing to eat.
Is it?
There's nothing better than, you know, a good old baby back or spare rib that's cooked properly and has the flavor. I mean, I'll go to a restaurant and order barbecue ribs, and my wife will just look at me like, are you crazy? But I definitely, ribs is my favorite barbecue all time.
There you go. Lauren Hill, Smoking Hills Barbecue, champion. Grand champion, world champion, all that stuff. Thanks for being with us on The Nation today, Lauren. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Jeff. It was a pleasure.
Not a problem. Hey, don't forget our motto around here, turn it, don't burn it. You can check out more of my stuff on thecowboycook.com. And for Lauren and myself, we will all see you next week right here on Barbecue Nation.
I want to tell you a story about the house went blue. I come home one Friday, had to tell the landlady I done lost my job.